let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Chuck Champlin's much-talked-about book, Think Like a Molecule, is being called the celebration of power and possibilities of human thought and imagination. Despite their complex structures, molecules most likely do not take time to ponder the ways they fit into the big scheme of things, but when zillions of molecules combine into organized functional systems, we get everything, including you and me, and some 7 or 8 billion others. It's likely that after the Big Bang, matter came together all on its own to create life and thinking minds. Now our minds, built from accidental creativity, can intentionally assemble marvelous new things. Using a starburst-shaped twinkle as a visual symbol of a molecule of thought, our life-changing and world-changing ideas come one step closer to physical reality. Chuck studied literature and architecture at UC Berkeley, then worked in journalism, an editor-writer at LA Times, and at the Walt Disney Company's Imagineering Unit, where he helped manage a global children's summit at Disneyland Paris in the 1990s. The twinkle-shaped molecule of meaning, inspired by the idea of Disney pixie dust, representing moments of inspiration, magic, and insight. The twinkle can also stand for a needed solution, such as the idea of X representing the answer looked for in the algebraic equation. Chuck Champlin, author of Think Like a Molecule, our guest on This Week in America. Chuck, welcome to the program, sir. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick, very much. Great to be with you.
I am looking forward to this and the fascinating background that you have, this excellent book that you've written, receiving rave reviews, as I mentioned. Talk about the motivation for writing the book, Think Like a Molecule. Why did this come about as a book for you?
Well, I've always been fascinated by science. I think Carl Sagan, master of billions and billions,
billions
of stars.
Yes.
One of my inspirations. But also, my mother was a scientist. She was a chemist. And so she did an experiment and boiled away from sugar that she'd poured into a pan. And there was the sugar on the bottom of the pan. And I thought, wow, now that's interesting. It had disappeared in the water, but it was still there. So anyway, my mother, Carl Sagan, Buckminster Fuller, Walt Disney, a lot of people inspired me to think about science. Walt Disney was actually a big fan of science and would feature it in his TV shows very often.
You know, it's interesting. We wouldn't think of famous scientists as Walt Disney. And as you're mentioning that, I'm thinking back to the magical world of Disney and what we learned. And even you go to Disneyland, Disney World, you see elements of science that that are entertaining all of us and had for decades. So after you got this journalism thing out of your system, you focused on the science part of it. We're talking about science. Is this book mostly for scientists? Because I'm reading reviews, scientists and non-scientists are enjoying and learning from the book.
Well, I think a deep-seated scientist with calculus in his mind might say that this was a little too much sociology for him or her. But so I think it's written for scientists, but I'm just really just taking an inspiration into philosophical dimensions to think about the structure of molecules and so on. So I don't have a laboratory and I don't have test tubes and Bunsen burners boiling away in the back room, but I do love the idea of science and having read quite a lot about science and just appreciating, for me, the allegory that science creates in terms of understanding the world and inspiring our intellectual insights to the world as well. So I'm reading currently a book about Darwin and what does Darwin think about God? If you think about evolution as being nothing but nature, what might God have to do with that? So it's an interesting book that's sort of looking at both the science of evolution, but also where does it fit in our larger global philosophy, if you will.
With us on This Week in America is Chuck Champlin, that's C-H-M-P-L-I-N. The book is Think Like a Molecule, Seeking Inspiration in the Structures of Thought. The book is available at Amazon, the usual places. Chuck's website, and I'll send you there, is thinklikeamolecule.com. Very simple. It's the name of the book, and we'll give you this throughout the program. It's available, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link directly to Chuck's website. Who is someone who thinks like a molecule?
Well, I think that somebody like Buckminster Fuller was one of my favorite examples of somebody who thought like a molecule, and he was a scientist, but he designed the geodesic dome based on sort of scientific principles of what creates a soap bubble and how do the molecules structure together to create a soap bubble. And from that, he built the geodesic dome, which are kind of a world famous shape of modern ways of thinking about architecture. And then another man I admire a lot is Ted Sargent, who wrote a book called The Dance of Molecules. And he's talking about the ways that people are making new materials out of molecules and understanding the science behind that. So, but Buckminster Fuller is truly one of my heroes. He was just a great inventor and futurist, thinking about the ways we can make the materials of our world into a better world, which is what our minds are capable of doing, which is, again, pretty astounding to me.
Well, it really is. And so many practical applications in the book as Chuck has written, Think Like a Molecule. I'm fascinated by your time at Disney because this really helped unlock the inner scientist in you, didn't it? What was the time at Disney like and that influence? Where did that influence come from that's guided your thinking?
Well, we always joked, people that work at Disney, is that the company has got our childhoods locked up in the vaults there. And I think I always felt that way, you know, thinking about the movies like, Mary Poppins even, but, you know, a lot of the science shows and the old TV show Zorro when I was a very young boy. So there was just something about all of those memories that company had created for me, drew me to work there. But specifically the Imagineering part of the company, which designs and builds the theme parks, really took that idea of magic and then turned it into physical things. And to me, that was a quintessential challenge for us humans, is to think about how do we take our imaginations, our vision of what might be, and then turn it into something that's real. And so the company has really made an industry of that when you think about magic and about the twinkles and the sparkles of what those theme parks are all about. So I was really drawn to that design build, you know, the Imagineering, which is really the definition of what they're all about. They imagine it and then they engineer it. So I was drawn to that. And I spent a long time trying to get to be at the Walt Disney Company because it was one of those, I was like a moth to that flame, if you will. But I loved it there. And I think that everything that went on at the company, I was there when they were starting to build the Disney store. I was at Disney Consumer Products by that time. And just, again, really very excited. And now to see what Bob Iger has been doing at the company for his term there for 10 years or more, it's just incredible to see the size and scope of that company, which is probably two or three times larger even than when I was there. So, you know, theme parks on every continent and fantastic movies, but new technologies now with robots that can walk around independently and things like that. So I just really find it very inspiring that dream it, do it, as a famous Imagineer named Marty Sklar said, you dream it and then you do it. And that's another way of saying what the Disney ethic is all about.
Well, and they've been able to do that. You mentioned Iger. This will be interesting, this whole transition of power, to see where Disney goes in the future as goals maybe are realigned with all the technology, the world we're living in now. It will be fascinating. But we've lived through something special, haven't we? And I've lived it. You've worked it. You've actually lived it on a daily basis. You've been part of something very magical.
It really was. And you know, it's a hard-working place. They're very driven people that work there. But I think there's a deep spiritual commitment to the long-term vision that Walt Disney had. And it was a long time after he had died. Everybody was saying, what would Walt have done? And they were sort of paralyzed. And the thing that happened when Bob Iger came on board and Michael Eisner and Frank Wells were previous leaders when I was there, they were helping the company move beyond that and to say, what would we do? What would we do taking into consideration the powers of imagination and dreaming and doing it? I think they've really built it into a fantastic new era of what Walt Disney was trying to do. And I think Walt Disney would be very proud to see what his name stands for today in this world. So I would feel extremely proud to have been a minuscule little part of that entire enterprise.
And he laid the foundation for where we are today, laid the foundation for what you've done with the book, Think Like a Molecule. Why would someone think differently, or how would someone think differently after reading your book? Again, I'm reading the reviews, and the response has been fascinating. How will people change after reading the book?
I think what I'm hoping people will do would be to realize that we are part of a physical universe that is magically, mysteriously, just really incredibly created these thinking minds at this point. So I think that just deserves a certain amount of respect and wonder, admiration, and excitement to think about. We don't know of any place else in the universe yet at this point that has developed thinking minds out of physical matter and happening almost for sure all on its own. Maybe there's a God up there, we'll find out someday, but he hasn't spoken to us directly yet. So right now we're just thinking, if somebody did design the universe, rolling the dice to see what happened, I think that entity, that mind, is sitting back there saying, that's interesting to see what's happened with all those dice that have been rolled. And here now thinking minds have evolved out of that. So that's, to me, what powers me in this book, is just the admiration and the sense of awe about what a thinking mind is, arising out of physical matter all by accident, taking something on the order of 14 billion years until that's happened. But still, if there is a master inventor up there, he, she, it is pretty amazed to see what has happened in his, her laboratory, as we would say in England. It's a very magical, mystical laboratory that the universe is running. And here we are as perhaps one of the top products that has come out of that so far. So that's the thinking like a molecule, is just being amazed what molecules have been able to accomplish all on their own.
Let's take that thinking component. How does writing this book relate to what you're talking about?
Well, writing to me, my father was a writer. Charles Champlin was a film critic for the Los Angeles Times, and he wrote a number of books, including about growing up in a small town called Back There Where the Past Was. He was so inspiring to me, and of course, my mother, the scientist, also was inspiring. But as a writer, my father has now created his past for me to enjoy, though he's been gone for 6 or 7 years now. I am with him every time I read something that he wrote. And so to me, writing is one of the most powerful ways to create your mind into a physical realm where somebody else can share it. And of course, we're doing that too in this physical realm. You're recording my words and we're having a fascinating conversation. But writing is such a personal way to do that. You just pick up your own pencil with your own paper and your thoughts go down, and they are there on the paper, but they were only in your mind before. So that is a dream it, do it kind of an idea that I think is just should inspire everybody to say, to realize that you can take your life, you can preserve it onto paper, type it out. And then in my case, I've taken the extra step of getting a book published and a couple of books. I have another book that I wrote 30 years ago that is just now being published, called Wand, with the idea that a pen or a television antenna is like magic wands in our world today. So it's about realizing your potential and making it physical in the form of a book. So I'm a missionary about that. I want everybody to realize that the possibility for them writing their own ideas is one of the great opportunities for their mind to become physical.
It sounds like you're prescient as well. You wrote this book at Wand, and I'm thinking, boy, the magic wand is my remote control. This has made life. It's opened up so much of a life for me. I've got down a few steps a day. I don't watch the TV to change the channel, but it's given me the world in my hand. So that book's now available?
Wand is just coming available now through the same publishing company that I'm working with, called Authors Press here in California, and it will be out available fairly soon. And it was, as I say, a book I wrote 30 years ago because the founder of CNN, Ted Turner, put out an award 30 years ago for novels that would talk about how do we preserve our human species and to build the world better. It was one of 2,500 novels that were written in response to Ted Turner's award. But I'm now taking it 30 years later and say, I didn't win that prize, but I'm going to win my own prize. I'm going to publish that book. So that's going to be out this year. And I'm excited about it because it really does talk about the power we have to create things out of our imagination using a pen, or as you say, with your technology, you're doing amazing creative things here, Vic, Rick. So I appreciate that.
Well, I
And
hope
again, I
it.
encourage everybody to think about what's their contribution that they want to make.
Well, yes, and when you listen to Chuck talk, you want to find that and to nurture that because I love your enthusiasm. Our guest is Chuck Champlin, Champlin. The book is Think Like a Molecule, Seeking Inspiration in the Structures of Thought. Why do you say use the force, Luke? I love that. There's a copy of the book. We've got it up on the screen as well. It's available wherever books are sold. I'll send you to Amazon and Chuck's website, thinklikeamolecule.com. Why the saying, use the force, Luke?
Well, I'm a big fan of Star Wars, and I really like George Lucas. He's one of my heroes. My dad, as a film critic, actually wrote a book with George Lucas about the creative impulse. So I feel close to George Lucas, though I've not met him yet personally. I hope to send my book to him, actually. But Use the Force to me is so symbolic of having confidence in your intuition and anybody's intuition to come up with ideas. That is the force of your own mind to think of things, to imagine things, to bring something imaginary into physical reality if it deserves to be there. So use the force is just use your intuition, use your imagination to better your own life and better the world. So I think that was such a powerful phrase. And of course it was in even in the Star Wars movie, it was very vague as to what the force ever was. But to me, it's still symbolic of that intuitive sense that we have an idea. And I'm always amazed by, and this is sort of that origin of the twinkle idea, is that, my goodness, I just had an aha moment. I just had an insight.
Yes.
And that's the force at work. You know, when you say, oh, I forgot, I've got to take the trash out tonight. Your mind has helped you out, you know, with a little jostling your memory. And that's part of the force at work. You know, your intuition comes back and from your subconscious reminds you of something maybe brilliant. Maybe it's a way to save the world. And I hope somebody will offer that.
You know, it's interesting because you could sort of make the force, couldn't you? Anything you want to. It's sort of individualized. However, we want to perceive the force, if it motivates us, that's a good thing.
That's right. That's right. And I offer that as a thought. And I say thank you, George Lucas. You know, that Star Wars series has been, you know, one of the great cultural influences in our modern age. And I just think George Lucas is one of the heroes of intellectual life on our planet, as far as I'm concerned.
Chuck Champlin, our guest on the program, Champlin. The book is Think Like a Miracle. His website is very simple, thinklikeamiracle.com.
Think like a molecule.
Think Like a Molecule. We're talking miracles here.
I
I'm
like
sorry.
that a lot.
Think Like a Molecule, or you'll get somebody else's book. So Think Like a Molecule is the name of the book. It's available wherever books are sold and information on his website as well. How does this all relate to our imaginations?
Well, again, that is the force, Luke. You know, your imagination is really almost undefinable and inexplicable. To me, it's just so amazing, again, that molecules, just inert, if you will, inert matter, has come together to create thinking minds. And so imagination is such a gift from that. And that's, you know, coming from the subconscious, the subterranean dimensions of your own mind. And again, it's like, I got to remember to take out the trash tonight. Or that's right. A friend called me and wants to offer me a new job or whatever it is. You know, your intuition, your subconscious mind is a gift. When I'm trying to get myself to sleep at night, I just sit there and listen to whatever floats up from the depths, and say, "Oh, my Aunt Mary, that's I haven't thought about her." Oh, whatever it is, your subterranean subconscious mind is your imagination, and that is the force, Luke. You know, that's what in a way drives you, even though you don't realize it sometimes. Your intuition is, I've got to find hot dog right now to eat, whatever it is. So hopefully it's going to be more noble thoughts than that. But whatever it is, your intuition, your subconscious mind is a source of basically who you are.
We get messages all the time from our subconscious, the intuition, and sometimes we ignore those. We feel like they're sort of random thoughts. Are they random, or are they subconscious and trying to become conscious to get our focus?
Well, they can be both. It may be that you're working on a problem. Again, I talk about X. A twinkle is maybe a solution, as I say in my book, is maybe a solution of how am I going to get out of jail, So the twinkle of the X in that equation can be simply a question that you want to solve, and you maybe haven't even formulated the question yet. But also that is, the totality of your subconscious, of course, is who you are. And so exploring that, we don't remember. Somebody may come up to you and say, Rick, I saw you yesterday and you were coming out of a garage, and you say, gosh, I'd forgotten about that. Yes, I went into Target to buy something and now I've got it in the back seat of my car. I forgot about that. Whatever it is, your intuition, your memory is so fluid. But you can use it as a tool. You set to work on something and say, I am going to think about what my next job is going to be. And I'm holding that up as a possibility of something that I want to do. And the thing about the twinkle, it's this star-shaped thing. And it's got so many lines going through it, because each of those lines, that is, again, that starburst shape, can be lines of text that you may end up writing like bullet points in an essay, when you sort of take all those lines and then just line them up and start saying, what is it? How do I describe this idea? It's an intuition right now, but a writer will go to work and say, maybe do a free write where you say, I'm going to write one circle. I'm going to go fishing. Oh, I want to go to a pond. And then I want to go to a lake. Then I want to try a river. Then I want to check my lures. I want to get a better rod. There's all those sort of ideas that you can explore from whatever little intuition you start with. And again, using that writer's script and build a set of bullet points, you can begin to dive down into the fullness of this intuition that you've barely got the vaguest inkling of what it is when you start. So I encourage people to do that. That's the writer's intuition, to get to work and to flesh out an idea that you've got.
Well, and the book is a great guide to doing that. Think Like a Molecule. Chuck Champlin, our guest in the program. We've got a minute or so left here. Mind mapping is something that you talk about. What exactly is that?
Well, I actually went looking it up the other day. It's something that I mentioned in the book, and I was amazed to see from Google all of the different images of mind maps. And it's just what I was talking about. If you say, I think I want to go fishing, well, where do you want to go? What tools do you want to use? So you start from a central point, and then you sort of draw out a series of lines to a circle, and maybe you'll fill it in with a word, fishing. Oh, trout, fishing bass, fishing the mountain lake, fishing with my old dad's fly casting rod, whatever it is. And mind mapping is just beginning to see the topology, the architecture, the layout of ideas that you have, some of them that you haven't even described yet. And so it's beginning to think about the areas of your imagination, the terms that you maybe are latent in your mind, that as you think about it, you say, oh, yes, I hadn't really thought about fishing in my own river that's just down the street here, whatever. So mind mapping, and again, if you look it up on Google, there are a number of stunning images filled with words on various topics, medical terminology or engineering sciences, or simply ways to write a better term paper for your college course, or your high school course.
This has been such a fascinating conversation. Our guest, Chuck Champlin, that's Champlin. The book is Think Like a Molecule, Seeking Inspiration in the Structures of Thought. You have the blue cover. You'll find the book at Amazon, the usual places. And Chuck's website is thinklikeamolecule.com. You can link by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Chuck, time went by way too quickly. Thank you for being with us on the program. looking forward to talking about Wonder as well. I that would be fascinating. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick, so much. It's really been a great pleasure for me, and you do a great job.
Well, I love the book. The book is Think Like a Molecule. You'll find it on Chuck's website, thinklikeamolecule.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. More on This Week in America after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.